Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Read Aloud of Wonder. If you're following along in a book, I am on page 257 at part 8, titled August. The fifth grade nature retreat. Every year in the spring, the fifth graders of Beecher Prep go away for 3 days and two nights to a place called Brewerwood Natural Nature Reserve in Pennsylvania. It's a 4-hour bus drive away. The kids sleep in cabins with bunk beds. There are campfires and s'mores and long walks through the woods. The teachers have been prepping us about this all year long, so all the kids in the grade are excited about it, except for me. And it's not even that I'm not excited, because I kind of am. It's just, I've never slept away from home before, and I'm kind of nervous. Most kids have had sleepovers by the time they're my age. A lot of kids have gone to sleepaway camps or stayed with their grandparents or whatever. Not me. Not unless you include hospital stays. But even then, Mom or Dad always stayed with me overnight. But I never slept over Tata and Popa's house or Aunt Kate and Uncle Po's house. When I was really little, that was mainly because there were too many medical issues, like my trach tube needed to be cleared every hour, or reinserting my feeding tube if it got detached. But when I got bigger, I just never felt like sleeping anywhere else. There was one time when I half slept over Christopher's house. We were about 8, and we were still best friends. Our family had gone over for a visit to his house, and me and Christopher were having such a great time playing Legos Star Wars that I didn't want to leave when it was time to go. We were like, please, 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 can we have a sleepover? So our parents said yes, and Mom and Dad and Via drove home. And me and Christopher stayed up till midnight playing, until Lisa, his mom, said, okay guys, time to go to bed. Well, that's when I kind of panicked a bit. Lisa tried to help me go to sleep, but I just started crying that I wanted to go home. So at 1 a.m., Lisa called Mom and Dad drove all the way back to Bridgeport to pick me up. We didn't get home until 3 a.m., so my one and only sleepover, up until now, was pretty much a disaster, which is why I'm a little nervous about the nature retreat. On the other hand, I'm really excited. Known for. I asked Mom to buy me a new rolling duffel bag because my old one had Star Wars stuff on it, and there was no way I was going to take that to the fifth grade nature retreat. As much as I love Star Wars, I don't want that to be what I'm known for. Everyone's known for something in middle school. Like Reed is known for having really been into marine life and oceans and things like that. And Amos is known for being a really good baseball player. And Charlotte is known for having been in a TV commercial when she was 6. And Yamina is known for being really smart. My point is that in middle school, you kind of get known for what you're into. And you have to be careful about stuff like that. Like Max G and Max W will never live down their Dungeons and Dragons obsession. So I was actually trying to ease out of the whole Star Wars thing a bit. I mean, it'll always be special to me, like it is with the doctor who put the hearing aids in. It's just not the thing I want to be known for in middle school. I'm not sure what I want to be known for, but it's not that. That's not exactly true. I do know what I'm really known for. But there's nothing I can do about that. A Star Wars duffel bag, I could do something about. Packing. Mom helped me pack the night before the big trip. We put all the clothes I was taking on my bed, and she folded everything neatly and put it inside the bag while I watched. It was a plain blue rolling duffel, by the way, no logos or artwork. What if I can't sleep at night, I asked. Take a book with you. Then, if you can't sleep, you can pull out your flashlight and read for a bit until you get sleepy, she answered. I nodded. What if I have a nightmare? Your teachers will be there, sweetie, she said, and Jack and your friends. I can bring Babu, I said. That was my favorite stuffed animal when I was little, a small black bear with a soft black nose. You don't really sleep with him anymore, do you? Said Mom. No, but I keep him in my closet in case I wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, I said. I could hide him in my bag. No one would know. Then let's do that, Mom nodded, getting Babu from the inside of my closet. I wish they allowed cell phones, I said. I know, me too, she said. though I know you're going to have a great time, Augie. You sure you want me to pack Babu? Yeah, but way down where no one can see him, I said. She stuck Babu deep inside the bag and then stuffed the last of my t-shirts on top of him. So many clothes for just 2 days. 3 days and two nights, I corrected her. Yep, she nodded, smiling. 3 days and two nights. She slipped up the duffel bag and picked it up. Not too heavy, try it. I picked up the bag. Fine, I shrugged. She sat on the bed. Hey, what happened to your Empire Strikes Back poster? Oh, I took that down ages ago, I answered. She shook her head. Huh, I didn't notice that before. I'm trying to, you know, change my image a bit, I explained. Okay, she smiled, nodding like she understood. Anyway, honey, you have to promise me you won't forget to put on the bug spray, okay? On the legs, especially when you're hiking through the woods. It's right here in the front compartment. Uh-huh. And put on your sunscreen, she said. You do not want to get a sunburn. And don't, I repeat, do not forget to take your hearing aids off when you go swimming. Would I get electrocuted? No, but you'd be in real hot water with Daddy because those things cost a fortune, she laughed. I put the rain poncho in the front compartment, too. Same thing goes if it rains, Augie, okay? Make sure you cover the hearing aids with your hood. Aye, aye, sir, I said, saluting. She smiled and pulled me over. I can't believe how much you've grown up this year, Augie, she said softly, putting her hands on the sides of my face. Do I look taller? Definitely, she nodded. I'm still the shortest one in my grade. I'm not really even talking about your height, she said. Suppose I hate it there. You're going to have a great time, Augie. I nodded. She got up and gave me a quick kiss on the forehead. Okay, so I say we get to bed now. It's only 9 o'clock, Mom. Your bus leaves at 6 a.m. tomorrow. You don't want to be late. Come on, chop chop. Your teeth are brushed. I nodded and climbed into bed. She started to lie down next to me. You don't need to put me to bed tonight, Mom, I said. I'll read on my own till I get sleepy. Really? She nodded, impressed. She squeezed my hand and gave it a kiss. Okay then, good night, love. Have sweet dreams. You too. She turned on the little reading light beside my bed. I'll write you letters, I said as she was leaving, even though I'll probably be home before you guys even get them. Then we can read them together, she said, and threw me a kiss. When she left the room, I took my copy of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe off the night table and started reading it until I fell asleep. Though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still, which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back, into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incarnation. Daybreak. The next day I woke up really early. It was still dark inside my room, and even darker outside, though I knew it would be morning soon. I turned over on my side, but I didn't feel sleepy at all. That's when I saw Daisy sitting near my bed. I mean, I knew it wasn't Daisy, but for a second I saw a shadow that looked just like her. I didn't think it was a dream then, but now, looking back, I know it must have been. It didn't make me feel sad to see her at all. It just filled me up with nice feelings inside. She was gone after a second, and I couldn't see her again in the darkness. The room slowly started lightening. I reached for my hearing aid headband and put it on, and now the world was really awake. I could hear the garbage trucks clucking down the street and the birds in the backyard, and down the hallway I heard Mom's alarm beeping. Daisy's ghost made me feel super strong inside, knowing wherever I am, she'd be there with me. I got out of bed and went to my desk and wrote a little note to Mom. Then I went into the living room where my bag was packed by the door. I opened it up and fished inside until I found out what I was looking for. I took Babu back to my room and laid him in my bed and taped the little note to Mom on his chest. And then I covered him with my blanket so Mom would find him later. The note read, "Dear Mom, I won't need Babu, but if you miss me, you can cuddle with him yourself. Kisses and hugs, Augie." Day 1. The bus ride went really fast. I sat by the window and Jack was next to me in the aisle seat. Summer and Maya were in front of us. Everyone was in a good mood. Kind of loud, laughing a lot. I noticed right away that Julian wasn't on our bus, even though Henry and Miles were. I figured he must be on the other bus, but then I overheard Miles tell Amos that Julian ditched the grade trip because he thought the whole nature retreat thing was quote-unquote dorky. I got totally pumped because dealing with Julian for 3 days in a row and 2 nights was a major reason that I was nervous about this whole trip. So now, without him there, I could really just relax and not worry about anything. We got to the nature reserve around noon. The first thing we did was put our stuff down in the cabins. There were 3 bunks, bunk beds in every room, so me and Jack did rock, paper, scissors for the top bunk, and I won. Woohoo! And the other guys in the room were Reed and Tristan and Pablo and Nino. After we had lunch in the main cabin, we all went on a 2-hour guided nature hike through the woods. But these were not woods like the kind they have in Central Park. These were real woods. Giant trees that almost totally blocked out the sunlight, tangles of leaves and fallen tree trunks, howls and chirps and really loud bird calls. There was a slight fog too, like a pale blue smoke all around us. So cool. The nature guide pointed out everything to us. The different types of trees we were passing, the insects inside the dead logs on the trail, the sign of deer and bears in the wood, what types of birds were whistling, and where to look for them. I realized that my Lobot hearing aids actually made me hear better than most people because I was usually the first person to hear a new bird call. It started to rain as we headed back to camp. I pulled my rain poncho out and pulled the hood up so my hearing aids wouldn't get wet, but my jeans and shoes got soaked by the time we reached our cabin. Everyone got soaked. It was fun, though. We had a wet sock fight in the cabin. Since it rained for the rest of the day, we spent most of the afternoon goofing off in the rec room. They had a ping pong table and old-style arcade games like Pac-Man and Missile Command that we played until dinner time. Luckily, by then, it had stopped raining, so we got to have a real campfire cookout. The log benches around the campfire were still a little damp, but we threw our jackets over them and hung out by the fire, toasting s'mores and eating the best roasted hot dogs I have ever tasted. Mom was right about the mosquitoes. There were tons of them, but luckily I had spritzed myself before I left the cabin and wasn't eaten alive like some of the other kids. I loved hanging out by the campfire after dark. I loved the way the bits of fire dust would float up and disappear into the night air, and how the fire lit up people's faces. I loved the sound the fire made, too, and how the woods were so dark that you couldn't see anything around you, and you wouldn't look up and see a billion stars in the sky, and the sky doesn't look like that in North River Heights. I have seen it look like that in Montauk, though, like someone sprinkled salt on a shiny black table. I was so tired when we got back to the cabin that I didn't need to pull out a book to read. I fell asleep almost as fast as my head hit the pillow, and maybe I dreamed about the stars. I don't know. The fairgrounds. The next day was just as great as the first day. We went horseback riding in the morning, and in the afternoon, we rappelled up some ginormous trees with the help of the nature guides. By the time we got back to the cabins for dinner, we were already tired again. After dinner, they told us we had an hour to rest, and then we were going to take a 15-minute bus ride to the fairgrounds for an outdoor movie night. I hadn't had a chance to write a letter to Mom and Dad and Via yet, so I wrote one telling them all about the stuff that we did the day and the day before. I picture myself reading it to them aloud when I got back, since there was just no way the letter would get home before I did. When we got to the fairgrounds, the sun was just starting to set. It was about 7:30. The shadows were really long on the grass, and the clouds were pink and orange. It looked like someone had taken sidewalk chalk and smudged the colors across the sky with their fingers. It's not that I haven't seen nice sunsets before in the city, because I have, slivers of sunsets between buildings, but I wasn't used to seeing so much sky in every direction. Out here in the fairgrounds, I could understand why ancient people used to think the world was flat and the sky was a dome that closed in on top of it. That's what it looked like from the fairgrounds in the middle of this huge open field. Because we were the first school to arrive, we got to run around the field all we wanted until the teachers told us it was time to lay out our sleeping bags on the ground and get good viewing seats. We unzipped our bags and laid them down like picnic blankets on the grass in front of the giant movie screen in the middle of the field. Then we went to the row of food trucks parked on the edge of the field to load up on snacks and sodas and stuff like that. There were concession stands there too, like at a farmer's market selling roasted peanuts and cotton candy. And up a little farther was a short row of carnival-type stalls, that the kind where you can win a stuffed animal if you throw a baseball into a basket. Jack and I both tried and failed to win anything, but we heard Amos won a yellow hippo and gave it to Jimena. That was the big gossip that went around, the jock and the brainiac. From the food trucks, you could see the corn stalks in back of the movie screen. They covered about a third of the entire field. The rest of the field was completely surrounded by woods. As the sun sank lower in the sky, the tall trees at the entrance of the woods looked dark blue. By the time the other school buses pulled into the parking lots, we were back in our spots on the sleeping bags, right smack in front of the screen, the best seats in the whole field. Everyone was passing around snacks and having a great time. Me and Jack and Summer and Reed and Maya played Pictionary. We could hear the sounds of the other schools arriving, the loud laughing, the talking of kids coming out of the field on both sides of us, but we couldn't really see them. Though the sky was still light, the sun had gone down completely and everything on the ground had turned deep purple. The clouds were shadows now. We had trouble even seeing the Pictionary cards in front of us. Just then, without any announcement, all the lights at the ends of the field went on at once. They were like big, bright stadium lights. I thought of that scene in Close Encounters when the alien ship lands and they're playing that music. Dun, 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 dun. Everyone in the field started applauding and cheering like something great had just happened. Be kind to nature. An announcement came over the huge speakers the next at the stadium lights. Everyone, welcome. Welcome to the 23rd annual Big Movie Night in the Broarwood Nature Reserve. Welcome teachers and students from MS 342, the William Heath School. A big cheer went up on the left side of the field. Welcome in teachers and students from Grover Academy. Another cheer went up, and this time from the right side of the field. And welcome, teachers and students from the Beecher Prep School. Our whole group cheered as loudly as we could. We're thrilled to have you as our guests here tonight. And thrilled that the weather is cooperating. In fact, can you believe what a beautiful night it is? Again, everyone whooped and hollered. So as we prepare for the movie, we do ask that you take a few moments to listen to this important announcement. The Broarwood Nature Reserve, as you know, is dedicated to preserving our natural resources and the environment. We ask that you leave no litter behind. Clean up after yourselves. Be kind to nature and it will be kind to you. We ask that you keep in mind as you walk around the grounds. Do not venture beyond the orange cones at the edge of the fairgrounds. Do not go into the cornfields or the woods. Please keep the free roaming to a minimum. Even if you don't feel like watching the movie, your fellow students may feel otherwise, so please be courteous. No talking, no playing music, no running around. The restrooms are located on the other side of the concession stands. After the movie is over, it will be quite dark, so we ask that all of you stay with your schools as you make your way back to your buses. Teachers, there's usually at least one lost party on big movie nights at Broarwood. Don't let that happen to you. Tonight's movie presentation will be The Sound of Music. I immediately started clapping, even though I'd seen it a few times before, because it was Via's favorite movie of all time. But I was surprised that a whole bunch of kids, not from Beecher, booed and hissed and laughed. Someone from the right side of the field even threw a soda can at the screen, which seemed to surprise Mr. Tushman. I saw him stand up and look in the direction of the can thrower, though I knew he couldn't see anything in the dark. The movie started playing right away. The stadium lights dimmed. Maria the nun was standing at the top of the mountain, twirling around and around. It had gotten chilly all of a sudden, so I put on my yellow Montauk hoodie and adjusted the volume on my hearing aids and leaned against my backpack and started watching. The hills are alive. The woods are alive. Somewhere around the boring part where the guy named Rolf and the oldest daughter are singing, "You are 16 going on 17, Jack nudged me. "Dude, I've got to pee," he said. We both got up and kind of hopscotched over the kids who were sitting or lying down on their sleeping bags. Summer waved as we passed and I waved back. There were lots of kids from the other schools walking around by the food trucks, playing the carnival games or just hanging out. Of course, there was a huge line for the toilets. "Forget this. I'll just find a tree," said Jack. "That's gross, Jack. Let's just wait," I answered. But he headed off to the row of trees at the edge of the field, which was past the orange cones that we were specifically told not to go past. And of course, I followed him. And of course, we didn't have our flashlights because we forgot to bring them. It was so dark now, we literally couldn't see 10 steps ahead of us as we walked toward the woods. Luckily, the movie gave off some light. So when we saw a flashlight coming toward us out of the woods, we knew immediately that it was Henry, Miles, and Amos. I guess they hadn't wanted to wait to use the toilets either. Miles and Henry were still not talking to Jack, but Amos had let go of the whole war a while ago, and he nodded hello to us as they passed. "Be careful of the bears," shouted Henry, and he and Miles laughed as they walked away. Amos shook his head at us like, "Don't pay attention to them." Jack and I walked a little further until we were just inside the woods. Then Jack hunted around for the perfect tree and finally did his business, though it felt like he was taking forever. The woods were loud with strange sounds and chirps and croaks, like a wall of noise coming out of the trees. Then we started hearing loud snaps not far from us, almost like cap gun pops that definitely weren't insect noises. And far away, like in another world, we could hear raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. "Ah, that's much better," said Jack, zipping up. "Now I have to pee," I said, which I did on the nearest tree. No way I was going further in like Jack did. "Do you smell that? Like firecrackers," he said, coming over to me. "Oh yeah, that's what that is," I answered, zipping up. "Weird. Let's go." And that's where I need to stop for today. When I pick up next time, I will be on page 273 at the chapter titled Alien. Have a great day, everyone.